Chapter 29. Were the inquests and the registrar's returns? Then it was their own fault, apostrophe said Mr. Podsnap. Veneering and other elders of tribes commended this way out of it. At once a shortcut, and a broad road. The man of meek demeanor intimated that truly it would seem from the facts, as if starvation had been forced upon the culprits in question, as if, in their wretched manner, they had made their weak protests against it, as if they would have taken the liberty of staving it off, if they could, as if they would rather not have been starved upon the whole, if perfectly agreeable to all parties. There is not, apostrophe said Mr. Podsnap, flushing angrily, there is not a country in the world, sir, where so noble a provision is made for the poor as in this country. Apostrophe, the meek man was quite willing to concede that, but perhaps it rendered the matter even worse, as showing that there must be something appallingly wrong somewhere. Where? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Podsnap. The meek man hinted wouldn't it be well to try, very seriously, to find out where? Ah! Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Podsnap. Easy to say somewhere, not so easy to say where. But I see what you are driving at. I knew it from the first. Centralization. No. Never with my consent. Not English. Apostrophe, an approving murmur arose from the heads of tribes, as saying, there you have him. Hold him. Apostrophe, he was not aware the meek man submitted of himself, that he was driving at anyization. He had no favoritization, that he knew of. But he certainly was more staggered by these terrible occurrences than he was by names, of howsoever so many syllables. Might he ask, was dying of destitution and neglect necessarily English? You know what the population of London is, I suppose, apostrophe said Mr. Podsnap. The meek man supposed he did, but supposed that had absolutely nothing to do with it, if its laws were well administered. And you know, at least I hope you know, apostrophe said Mr. Podsnap, with severity, that Providence has declared, that you shall have the poor always with you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the meek man also hoped he knew that. I am glad to hear it, apostrophe said Mr. Podsnap with a portentous air. I am glad to hear it. It will render you cautious, how you fly in the face of Providence. Apostrophe, in reference to that absurd and irreverent conventional phrase, the meek man said, for which Mr. Podsnap was not responsible, he the meek man had no fear of doing anything so impossible. But Mr. Podsnap felt that the time had come for flushing and flourishing this meek man down for good. So he said, I must decline to pursue this painful discussion. It is not pleasant to my feelings. It is repugnant to my feelings. I have said that I do not admit these things. I have also said that, if they do occur, not that I admit it, the fault lies with the sufferers themselves. It is not for me. Mr. Podsnap pointed me forcibly, as adding by implication, though it may be all very well for you, it is not for me to impugn the workings of Providence. I know better than that, I trust, and I have mentioned what the intentions of Providence are. Besides, apostrophe said Mr. Podsnap, flushing high up among his hairbrushes, with a strong consciousness of personal affront, the subject is a very disagreeable one. I will go so far as to say it is an odious one. It is not one to be introduced among our wives and young persons, and I apostrophe he finished with that flourish of his arm which added more expressively than any words, and I remove it from the face of the earth. Simultaneously with this quenching of the meek man's ineffectual fire, Georgina having left the ambler up a lane of sofa, in a no thoroughfare of back drawing room, to find his own way out, came back to Mrs. Lammle. And who should be with Mrs. Lammle, but Mr. Lammle? So fond of her. Alfred, my love, here is my friend. Georgina, dearest girl, you must like my husband next to me. Mr. Lammle was proud to be so soon distinguished by this special commendation to Miss Podsnap's favor. But if Mr. Lammle were prone to be jealous of his dear Sophronia's friendships, he would be jealous of her feeling towards Miss Podsnap. Sagey Urgina, darling, apostrophe interposed his wife. Towards shall I? Georgina. Apostrophe Mr. Lammel uttered the name, with a delicate curve of his right hand, from his lips outward. For never have I known Sophronia who is not apt to take sudden likings, so attracted, and so captivated as she is by shall I once more? Georgina. Apostrophe, the object of this homage sat uneasily enough in receipt of it, and then said, turning to Mrs. Lammel, much embarrassed, I wonder what you like me for. I am sure I can't think. Apostrophe, dearest Georgina, for yourself. For your difference from all around you. Apostrophe, well, that may be. For I think I like you for your difference from all around me, apostrophe said Georgina with a smile of relief. We must be going with the rest, apostrophe observed Mrs. Lammel, rising with a show of unwillingness, amidst a general dispersal. We are real friends, Georgina dear. Apostrophe apostrophe real. Apostrophe good night, dear girl. Apostrophe apostrophe she had established an attraction over the shrinking nature upon which her smiling eyes were fixed for Georgina held her hand, while she answered in a secret and half-frightened tone. Don't forget me when you are gone away, and come again soon. Good night. Apostrophe apostrophe, charming to see Mr. and Mrs. Lammel taking leave so gracefully, and going down the stairs so lovingly and sweetly. Not quite so charming to see their smiling faces fall and brood as they drop moodily in two separate corners of their little carriage. But to be sure, that was a sight behind the scenes, which nobody saw, and which nobody was meant to see. Certain big heavy vehicles, built on the model of the Podsnap plate, took away the heavy articles of guests weighing ever so much, and the less valuable articles got away after their various manners, and the Podsnap plate was put to bed. As Mr. Podsnap stood with his back to the drawing room fire, pulling up his shirt collar, like a veritable cock of the walk literally pluming himself in the midst of his possessions, nothing would have astonished him more than an intimation that Miss Podsnap, or any other young person properly born and bred, could not be exactly put away like the plate, brought out like the plate, polished like the plate, counted, weighed, and valued like the plate. That such a young person could possibly have a morbid vacancy in the heart for anything younger than the plate, or less monotonous than the plate, or that such a young person's thoughts could try to scale the region bounded on the north, south, east, and west, by the plate, was a monstrous imagination which he would on the spot have flourished into space. This perhaps in some sort arose from Mr. Podsnap's blushing young person being, so to speak, all cheek. Whereas there is a possibility that there may be young persons of a rather more complex organization. If Mr. Podsnap, pulling up his shirt collar, could only have beard himself called that fellow in a certain short dialogue, which passed between Mr. and Mrs. Lammel in their opposite corners of their little carriage, rolling home. Sophronia, are you awake? Apostrophe apostrophe, am I likely to be asleep, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe, very likely, I should think, after that fellow's company. Attend to what I am going to say. Apostrophe, I have attended to what you have already said, have I not? What else have I been doing all tonight? Apostrophe, attend, I tell you, apostrophe in a raised voice, to what I am going to say. Keep close to that idiot girl. Keep her under your thumb. You have her fast, and you are not to let her go. Do you hear? Apostrophe, I hear you. Apostrophe, I foresee there is money to be made out of this, besides taking that fellow down a peg. We owe each other money, you know. Apostrophe, Mrs. Lammel winced a little at the reminder, but only enough to shake her sense and essences anew into the atmosphere of the little carriage, as she settled herself afresh in her own dark corner. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.